Good morning. Welcome to you all. Welcome to the Vines Uniting Church, and also welcome to those online or watching during the week. We hope that this time this morning is time that you can find to spend with God, to open your hearts and your minds to hear what he has to say to us this morning. He is a great and gracious God. He's been around, believe it or not, for longer than the Queen. He's ancient. He's watched over us for thousands and thousands of years, and he's not going to stop today. So let's stand and let's celebrate this wonderful Ancient of Days.
Moment, you are forever. Lord.
Lord Heavenly Father, it is such a privilege to come into your presence. It is such a privilege to be here in this place, free to worship you, free to honour you, free to meet those who think and worship with us. Lord, we don't understand why you're here. Sometimes we think that you surely must find better people elsewhere. We offer you those things that we know we have done wrong recently. The times we have let you down, not been the good ambassadors we should have been. Those sharp words, the silence when we should have spoken, the habits we fall back into, the wanting of things which really are not part of your plan for us. And worst of all, not speaking to you. Lord, thank you that you hear our prayers, that you want us to meet with you and speak with you and have you in our lives. We ask you to be here this morning in richness. Enter our open hearts and minds that we may be one with you. Lord, we love you. Take your glory here this morning, we pray.
Your glory, Lord. Amen. All right, kids, if you want to come down the front. Come on, you little crawlers. Jump down the space, down the front, girls. Down here, down the ditch. Oop. All right. How are you all today? I did some prior preparation and planning earlier today. Now, let's have a look. Okay, today I thought I'd talk about tears. Tears. Why tears? That's a really good question. Actually, let's ask a question. Who here has ever cried? Okay, I think we all have cried. All right, so sometimes when we cry, we look a little bit like this, don't we? This is a bad hairstyle. Okay. Maybe I should draw a little bit of a nose in there. I don't know. What do you think? Can you understand what I'm trying to do here? That's a sad, just like a... Anyway, maybe I should do that in blue. But you get the idea. So these are tears. All right. So imagine if tears could talk to you, what would tears tell you? Imagine if a tear was like a backpack, like that backpack over there, and it was carrying something. And every time you cried, tears had something important to tell you. All right, where's my mind? Okay, so let's get your brains working, these wonderful big brains. What do you think? What? Okay, so tears could be... That really is a bad picture, isn't it? I can't frame it, understand that myself. Do some of that. Anyway, whatever. You know what I mean. Well, forget that. Okay, so tears could mean... tears could be sad. Could mean... What other things do you think tears could be? Mad? Sad, mad, mad? What other things could tears... So you've just figured out your football team has won for the first time in 50 years, and you've got these things running down your face. Is it because you're so mad they've won? Happy tears? I don't know, confused tears? What happens, Sam, if you... Yeah, okay, we'll just stick with that. So you can have happy tears. What other? So... Oh, I got another one. Mad tears. All right, happy, mad, and sad. So part of, I guess, what we're trying to do today is sometimes our tears try and tell us things. It's not always when we look at someone crying, we think, oh, they're sad. Well, sometimes they are. Sometimes they're happy. Sometimes there's other things going on.
Sometimes they're a bit stressful.
A bit stressful, yes. So we never quite know with tears, but they're trying to tell us something important. And today in our theme today is Jeremiah is a prophet who tries to tell people about God, and he's crying today. He's crying because of a whole lot of reasons. But sometimes tears are important because if, I'm not sure about you, but sometimes when I've cried it's because it's like I'm just can't help it. It just tears come out because something really emotional is happening. Because we have emotions, we have feelings, we're not robots. Are we? We have feelings. People say things to us that make us happy, sad, or mad.
Sometimes
you might just have some dust in your eye.
Sometimes
you have really big emotions. We all do, don't we? Every age, every stage, whether a boy, girl, we all have feelings. So what I want you to do is next time someone's crying, don't just think, oh, they're sad. Go, oh, I wonder what the tears are trying to say. Be curious. And say, oh, well, I guess you give them a hug and say, are you okay? And then you say, and try to find out what the tears are saying. Are they saying sadness? Are they saying happy? Are they saying what? I did it a lot better this morning when I did it at my office. That looks terrible, but my apologies. But it's a really important thing to remember. Okay, thank you. It's coming. Write me a letter. Okay. So, part of today is we're thinking that, you know, as Christians, as people of faith, we have emotions and feelings. And tears tell us stuff. And even God has tears. That's a big theme. I've just landed on you. My apologies. We won't unpack that today. But that's an interesting thing. God loves us. And even in when we're crying and we have tears, God loves us. Okay, let's pray. Lord Jesus, thank you that you can work miracles. This morning we ask that you would continue to help us work through what it means to be people of faith who have emotions and feelings. And we know that tears are really important. And we know that sometimes they mean lots of different things. Help us to be curious as we care for each other. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
Seemed like such a really good children's talk when I was planning it. All right. We've got some notices too. Now, part of our notices today involve a special moment when we have a focus on our shoeboxes. And in a moment we'll be getting to share on that. But I've got 3 weeks off. Next 3 weeks I'm taking some time off. Great things about holidays is they're holidays. Bad thing about holidays, you tend to have to work like crazy before you get them and then catch up when you come back. But anyway, I'm sure I'll have a wonderful time. So again, if you need some support, pastoral issues, catch up with your small group leaders. Marge Dredge is happy to delegate and support and get the other elders involved as well and some other support people. So if you need to follow up, please do so. Any other notices? You've got your... Yep.
Yeah, just a reminder, the quiet day is next Saturday from 9:30 till 3:30. Most of the people who put their names down would have got an email from me, I think, on Friday night or yesterday. If you're thinking of coming and you haven't told me yet, could you please tell me today? Thank you.
Okay, thank you. Yes.
Morning, everyone.
Morning.
The team that promotes the Samaritan's Purse Christmas boxes, which we've got lined up here, wanted to thank all those who contributed. We've got 64 boxes to send. Amazing achievement. Yes, it's a great effort, and there's some money left over. Each box is $10 for postage and handling, but we have been donated money over and above that, so we're really pleased with the response. Thank you for your help, whether it be with boxes, money, or with individual items. It's all added up to much, and at a time when many in our world are struggling to make ends meet. This morning, we'd like to dedicate these boxes and this money and send them off with love and with blessings. Let's pray. Lord, we thank you for the ministry of Samaritan's Purse as we send off these boxes in your name. We pray a blessing on all the hands that carry them, and especially on the children who receive them. May the children and their communities know that they're sent with God's love, a practical gift, an opportunity to share the knowledge of Christ, who cares for them, who loves them. Lord, we look at the news and see so many disruptions, so much unrest, war, floods, disease and famine. Help these boxes be a little ray of your light in these troubled times. We thank you too for our brothers and sisters in Jesus who felt compelled to give. May your hand of blessing be on them. Now we dedicate these boxes as they begin their journey. May they travel well and safely as we picture them going over land and sea and finally into the hands of those that receive them. Thank you, Lord, for your many blessings. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you, everyone.
In looking at the boxes and knowing the stories behind why we do it, it does remind us how much we have. We have so much, and it's not just material items, but the freedoms. And here in Adelaide, we haven't had the natural disasters which have gone elsewhere. We have got through COVID. We're not persecuted. We have no soldiers in the streets. We are a very blessed people. So now, as we offer ourselves and our offering for the Lord God to take and use as he wishes to. So let's stand and let's give thanks. We have so much. You have blessed us with so much. And Lord, we come this morning and offer you all that back. Our time, our resources, our skills, our love and the grace that you have given us. And we offer these back to you. In Jesus' name, amen. There, you may be seated. There is an awful buzzing in this. Dennis? The song we're going to sing next, it's going to be a preparation for our prayers of intercession. I want you to use this song as you need to use it. If you wish to join in, then please join in. It's going to be partly in a round. Do what you want to do. If you want to sit quietly, if you want to close your eyes, do that. This is your opportunity to draw yourself closer to God, to let him into your hearts and into your minds.
Songs of deliverance. Good morning. As we bring our prayers of intercession before our God today, we take time to thank him for the many blessings that we have already received. Let us pray. As Queen Elizabeth is laid to rest, we commemorate the passing of an extraordinary woman who gave an unbelievable 70 years, served with distinction and dignity to her people, leaving the greatest legacy of all, a life well lived. As a new era begins in Britain, with not only a monarch ascending the throne, but also the appointment of a new Prime Minister, we pray that King Charles III may continue to walk in the steadfast steps of his mother and earn the love and respect of his people. While the world keeps throwing curveballs, the war in the Ukraine still rages on, and many people know despair for those who continue to be displaced day by day. We hearten to hear of counter-offensives by the Ukrainian military, but we know how quickly circumstances alter in the blinking of an eye. And we're reminded once again how blessed we are to live in a country with freedom to worship and freedom also from war and its repercussions. We pray for all leaders and politicians here and around the world that they might know unselfishness and learn respect for each other in these constantly changing, uncertain times. For all our faithful frontline workers, be it in situations of war, COVID, or working to rebuild after natural disasters, we ask that you give them the courage and resilience to continue with their tasks. For all those who are feeling overwhelmed or particularly challenged at this time, mentally or physically, who are suffering family upheaval of any kind, who are homeless or struggling to find employment, sustain them, we pray, through their difficult time. Give strength and courage to all those who may be mourning the loss of their loved ones, as we pause now to remember those closest to our hearts. We ask that you circle them in your love amidst the storms in their lives. We ask also that you help us to be more generous with our own time, to reach out to those who are feeling vulnerable, so that we may give comfort and support where it's most needed. We ask your blessing, Lord, on our church here at the Vines. Encourage and sustain our minister, David, and all our worship leaders and volunteers. Next Saturday, 24th, is our spring quiet day here at the Vines, where we welcome the opportunity to be still and leave ourselves open to God's words. Too often we listen, but we don't hear. It's said that God comes to us in silence, although it's easy to lose that art of being still. But Lord, we ask that you bless those taking part with insight and peace. Lord, we pray that you send your life-giving spirit upon us, light our way and keep us safe. Make us deserving of your grace. In Jesus' blessed name, amen.
This morning's reading is from Jeremiah chapter 8, verse 18, and chapter 9, verse 1. I'm reading from the Message version. Advancing from one evil to the next. I drown in grief. I'm heartsick. Oh, listen, please listen. It's the cry of my dear people reverberating through the country. Is God no longer in Zion? Has the king gone away? Can you tell me why they flaunt their plaything gods, their silly, imported, no gods before me. The crops are in, the summer is over, but for us nothing's changed. We're still waiting to be rescued. For my dear broken people, I'm heartbroken. I weep, seized by grief. Are there no healing ointments in Gilead? Isn't there a doctor in the house? So why can't something be done to heal and save my dear, dear people? I wish my head were a well of water and my eyes fountains of tears, so I could weep day and night for casualties among my dear, dear people. This is the word of the Lord.
Let's pray. Lord God, as we consider these words, we ask that you would bring your insight to us in our lives today. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. Well, that was a bit of a light scripture reading, wasn't it? Isn't that very uplifting? It makes you feel just like, yes, the world's a wonderful place. But sometimes the Old Testament can be really a heavy, heavy thing. And as we continue through Jeremiah week 5, we're really looking at Jeremiah being called the weeping prophet. And the last verses we just heard read out to us really pick up just how impacted Jeremiah was with the plight of the people he was called to make a difference to. Now, the Old Testament prophets often are sort of come across as stern people. Even there was even a female prophet who whose name was Huldah, and she was the one who was consulted by King Josiah about some scriptures that were actually found out to be the Torah, the first five books of the Bible, and that laid the foundation for the renewal of the temple. So most prophets were considered to be God's voice pieces, and these voice pieces often sounded very critical and judgmental. And here we have one of God's mouthpieces weeping. So it's part of what we're going to reflect a little bit on today. What does it mean to have God's mouthpiece weeping for the people? What does that mean? You know, and I guess there's a real, yeah, when we're in relationship with people, you know, there's a lot of emotional dynamics that go on, isn't there? You know, but it's not simply a 2 + 2 = 4 equation. Our relationships are complicated. People make dumb decisions. We make dumb decisions. And it's complicated. We try and reconnect. And what we see in the Bible is the same sort of thing going on between God and humanity. And the prophet is the person trying to stir the people back to connection. And he's very unique, Jeremiah, particularly for his length and extent of compassion and empathy. In Jeremiah, we see people being called to fight for their faith, to not give up, not give in, but to persist, not to become distracted. Now, during the week, I had a 2-day training course on a pastoral narrative disclosure. It sounds very technical, but actually it's really a process whereby they're trying to deal with moral injury. Now, I'm not sure if you've ever heard the term moral injury. A definition is one current definition is trauma-related syndrome caused by the physical, psychological, social, and spiritual impact that grievous moral transgressions have upon individuals' deeply held moral beliefs or ethical standards. Oh, almost need half an hour just to unpack that, don't we? Really, what it's saying is that each one of us has a moral framework that we live by. And when that is broken or bent, or, you know, maybe we see something that happens, maybe we fail to do something that happens, maybe we experience something happen to us, or maybe we do something to someone else, that has the potential to actually cause a rift in our moral, our fiber, our value system. And what do you do with that? Like in America, there is 22 veterans a day who take their own lives. There are more died by their own hand than they ever died when they were fighting in Afghanistan or Iraq. And people are beginning to see that maybe actually there's something more than just simply the trauma of fighting. Maybe there is a moral injury maybe something they so firmly believed in has been crossed over, broken, changed, conflicted. It's really quite a powerful insight, and this applies not only to soldiers, but police, fireys. In fact, it applies to us all. Why is that? Because we all have values and morals, don't we? And when someone does something that is just so offensive to us, or we see something that is so confronting, or we do something against what we believe to be who we are and what life's supposed to be about, that jams a wedge. Now, as chaplains, as Christians, we actually have something to offer in this space. And most of the time, you know, once a month we celebrate communion. And communion is really an opportunity where we come to God broken and we leave whole. But how do you do that in a way that helps people who aren't Christian have any connection with? So these two chaplains have come up with this process, and I managed to find a nice graph. Now, this is an 8-step process, and it's like, you look at it and think, wow, my brain is hurting just looking at this. But it really starts right at the top. So when someone, so you, as a chaplain, I would sit down, or as a Christian, I would sit down with someone and try and, I guess, make a connection and find out what is happening. So this process really is for people who have been referred to chaplains who have an obvious conflict in their moral injury. And so rapport, reflection, review, reconstruction, restoration, ritual, renewal, reconnection. So this process is probably about 10 hours worth, taken over a 1 week at a time. And the idea is that it helps a person begin to name and discover what it is that has been, I'd say, almost violated, what has been injured within them. Because if you don't know, if you have no awareness, you can't change. And so trying to actually understand what is going on. What do my tears mean? What is the meaning they're trying to have? And the moral injury is that connection where we're trying to unpack. And this process actually takes us through reflection, review, reconstruction. So it's really having identified what the dramas are and where the injury has occurred. You actually then try and help the person reconstruct, reconnect. And interestingly, there's a ritual. And the ritual really is almost like that process of confession. And it's a whole series of things where the person apologizes to others who that person has hurt, as well as recognizes those who have hurt them. A bit like Jesus on the cross. Father, forgive them, for they don't know what they're doing. If they knew me, if they loved me, they never would have hurt me in the way they have. And sometimes we're guilty of hurting others. And so this whole process is really a powerful process. Now, the reason I mention this today is it sort of fits in very much with what Jeremiah's trying to do with his people. I mean, the people believed in God, trusted in God, thought, well, while we're with God, we are winners. What happens when you're not? What happens when Jerusalem, the temple, the very land you live upon, which is considered the promised land, is taken from you, and you end up in captivity in Babylon with your king? Now, do you think there would be a bit of a moral injury there? What do you reckon? Would you have questions about where God is in your life? Yeah. And I think Jeremiah is really trying to connect in. And to be honest, Jeremiah probably has some moral injury himself. Just thinking of these people he loves who are just like bricks. They're not changing, they're not doing, they're not learning. And he just weeps tears of love and grief for these people. The slide we have, next slide, is the one we heard from the reading. I drown in grief, I'm heartsick. Oh, listen, please listen. It's a cry of my dear people reverberating through the country. Is God no longer in Zion? Has the king gone away? Can you tell me why they flaunt their plaything gods, their silly imported no gods before me? The crops are in, the summer is over, but for us nothing's changed. We're still waiting to be rescued. Ah, powerful words, aren't they? You can't help but think of the grief Jeremiah has. One of the things that we have to remember about the prophets is that the prophets are God's mouthpiece. In fact, Isaiah walked around naked for 3 years to be a visible sign to the people of what would happen to them if they didn't obey God. They would be captives. Jeremiah wept. And in the weeping, he conveyed something very powerful to the people who were disconnected, isolated, and felt unloved. You know, next slide we have is a great, great quote from Her Majesty Queen Elizabeth II. And it's one that has had a bit of traction. Grief is the price we pay for love. You know, if Jeremiah didn't care about the people, he wouldn't have cared. There would be no tears. If we don't care for people, often it doesn't fuss us what happens. So our tears actually become really important things, indicating something is important to us. What do our tears mean? Something meaningful is happening here. What is it? Throughout the whole process of the Bible is really trying to get people to go from distant to connected, from afar to close with either God or each other. And that takes some honest reflection. It takes restoration. It takes confession. It takes honesty. It takes truth. It takes a willingness to connect. And people have choices what they do with that, of course. We all know how messy that is. We can love someone and they can simply go, yeah, forget it. We don't get that power. But we have the choice, we can. And so for the people in Babylon who said, why should I believe in God anymore? Look at my life, it's a mess. The prophet says, because my tears won't stop. Because God loves you in whatever position or place you are, nothing changes from God's point of view. The prophet was saying, don't give up on God. God never gives up on you. And so that requires a retelling of the story, doesn't it? A retelling of that narrative of finding, like Jeremiah said, everybody's forgotten to say, where is God? They've forgotten those points of history where God intervened and connected and showed you something significant. And at the points where we're most struggling, we have to recall that narrative. As individuals, a church, a family, a couple, whatever. Because it is such a powerful thing. And in many ways, it's, I guess, to put it in contemporary language, this next slide picks that up. We are what we think. Now think about it. Like, it's a bit like when we find ourselves in a rut, and we go around the circle and it's the same negative stuff that we regurgitate. Is it surprising our lives feel miserable? So how do we break that cycle? How do we break that connection? Stop going down that path of self-pity or whatever thinking it might be. Why should we fight for God when we live in captivity? Because God weeps tears of love for us. How do we reconnect that in? And so that's part of that conversation, isn't it? There's nothing more confronting than someone ending a relationship and not telling you why. I don't know if you've ever had that experience too. Good mate, suddenly leaves, you never see him again, and they don't tell you why. What the is going on? Seriously. Why does that happen? And it's the same with what people do with God. They just say, forget it, God. That's it. How can you have a relationship with God when you don't talk to God? Our tears become a part of our prayer life. And if we've got trouble with God, we don't turn our back, but we bring it to God. And some of the beautiful songs we've sung today is really an honest invitation to just bring it, warts and all. Because that's the connection we have. That's how faith maintains its life. That's how the connection continues. In the end, part of what really Jeremiah is trying to do is bring hope by getting people to trust. And trust sometimes is something that, well, sometimes we don't see. So the invitation we have is, when everything screams to you to run away and stick your head in the sand, we have to do the opposite. We have to turn our trust volume up and say, okay, these are the things I believe about God. God is with me. God loves me. And in the mess that I find myself, God is present. And I'm working out how that is. Together, we will get through this. You know, look, and so for me, that's that whole process, that moral injury that happens to us all in some way, it's grief, loss, whatever you want to call it, requires that reconnecting. And that's really what Jeremiah has been trying to do for the people of Israel. That's why we can sit here 2,500 years later and actually pick out some things that are relevant for us today. So, tears, ritual, restoration. I guess there's lots of different ways I connect with these words as well. So I'm not sure how you do. I'm going to invite you to just take a moment and maybe think about it. Turn to the person next to you if you want like to talk and they want to talk. Or maybe just think, well, what is it I'm taking away with me today? What is something that I can apply in my life today? A bit of think time and just go from there. Well, Lord, we've talked about lots of different things today, some really heavy stuff, as well as some invitations to keep those communications open with you. We thank you for the scripture that we use to continue to shape our faith. We thank you for the way in which we can even look at issues today that have been grounded 2,500 years ago. Holy Spirit, we just ask for your peace and presence to be amongst us and to continue to shape us. In Jesus' name, amen. And if anybody wants to talk afterwards, I'm happy to have a chat afterwards. If you need some special prayer as a result of some of the things we've talked about, please feel free to come down the front after. Thank you.
It's an extraordinary thing, isn't it, that God weeps for us, for you and for me. Yet he is a faithful God. So as we go into the week, let's try and put our trust back in him. Let's stand and declare the faithfulness of this great God.
Changes not thy compassions, they fail.
Go from this place, know that the love of God goes with you forever. There is nothing that can separate you from that love. Go in peace to serve the Lord. Amen.
Great is thy faithfulness.